Morning, everyone. Before I start on my lengthy sermon, just want to mention, yesterday I read an article in the newspaper, which is quite worrying, really. It was by a Jewish rabbi, one of the high-ups in London, I think, and he was saying that Jews are afraid. They are really afraid now in this country, because if Mr. Corbyn gets in, a lot of them are saying we are going to leave. He thought they were safe after the 1945 war, but they say not anymore. And it's a worrying thing, isn't it, that the apple of God's eye, the Jewish nation, are afraid to live in England. You know, I was quite taken aback by the article. The rabbi said that he was used to people coming up, youngsters coming up, and says it's all right to have a tattoo, harking back to the number that the Nazis put on the Jewish they were going to kill. But now it's a lot more than that. They are afraid. I don't know what to say then. I just thought I would share that with you, really, because it's for us to pray that they will be kept safe while they're in this country. Amen. Now, I have I think it's a fairly short sermon, unless I get carried away, which is highly unlikely. And it's a short passage in Luke chapter 13, and I've named it The Lord and the Lady, verses 10 to 17. It's quite a short passage. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, and was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her, to him, and said, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, "There are 6 days in which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on one of them, and not on the Sabbath day." The Lord answered him and said, "Hypocrite! Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath?" And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. It's an amazing little cameo, isn't it? Just a short one. In the life of Jesus, and the life of the woman, and the life of Mr. Angry, the chief rabbi. Well, what do you make of all that? A wonderful thing to happen, except one miserable man halfway through. Well, I think this little passage can be thought of in three different ways. The first one, the compassion of Jesus for a suffering woman. Second one, Jesus' victory over an evil spirit. Or thirdly, the opposition of Jesus to legalism. The choice is yours. But I think it's all three, personally. Now, imagine the scene that day. It was packed, inside and out. As you read the first verses and the last, there were lots and lots of people there. And they weren't all friends of Jesus by any means. There would be Pharisees there, the heavy, well, you know, the moaning mob. But Jesus was there, and that is the main thing. He started to teach. We don't know where it was, or there are no names given even. So, but Jesus, when he was preaching, his usual and favourite theme is the kingdom of God. And he was beginning to preach that. But then he saw this lady. She was sitting there, or standing there, I'm not quite sure, it doesn't say. She was suffering from, he could see, a double affliction. Not only was she bent double, she had a demon. That's an awful combination, isn't it? I put here in my notes, she was infected twice. And it's an awful thing. Now, the spirit of infirmity, I'll give it a fancy name if you wish, but she was bent and could not straighten up. Have you ever seen a person like that? Yeah, we got a neighbour like that. And he walked around sort of like that. It's painful to watch. I remember a lady who was same age as my mother when I was a child. And this lady used to walk down to catch the bus, and her face was grey with pain, and she would stagger to the bus stop. It was pathetic to watch. I felt so sorry for her, and I was only that high. You know, poor lady. And I did know her because she had a son the same age as me. So, but the thing is, this lady in the Bible couldn't straighten up, and she'd been like that for, imagine, 18 years. And this was no ordinary sickness. The only walking she could do was bent double, looking at the pavement. She couldn't lift her head above to have a conversation with anyone until she sat down. And she looked normal, I think. And she couldn't even straighten up in bed. Now, if you've ever had back problems, anyone had back problems, well, I can speak from personal experience. I was once gardening a long, long time ago, and I was picking French beans off. When I got to the other end of the row, I couldn't stand up. My back had locked, and it was agonising. Terrible. Have you had it? Yeah. You know what it's like. And you think, how long is it going to be like this? And I went to the doctor, and he thought I was malingering. And it was about a month before I was anything like normal. Wherever I sat, it was uncomfortable. And wherever I lay down, it was uncomfortable. Until you found a spot that wasn't so bad. And then I was able to sleep. But imagine this poor lady, 18 years like that, and all of a sudden, woof, she's up. I'm up. I expect she went that day hoping that something would happen. Oh, well, it did. And he called her out. Whatever her name was, maybe Miriam. That was her favourite name, wasn't it? Miriam, come out. You're healed. And he put his hands on her shoulder. You are healed. Just like that. And up she went. And it says she glorified God. Now, I was imagining this, that she wouldn't say, thank you, Lord. Thank you very much. And sit down again. Oh, no. They didn't kid around in those days, did they? She would go whooping around, shouting, praise you, Lord, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then Mr. Misery stepped in. Well, can you imagine all this joy? I'm sure that the congregation would be with her, shouting hallelujah and praise the Lord, and isn't he wonderful? And wow. Well, fancy healing her. How dare he do such a thing, messing my synagogue up. What does he think he's doing? But little did he know that he'd locked horns with Almighty God, and he was going to lose. And Jesus just must have looked at him and said, "Hypocrite!" Wow, what a word. The ruler of a synagogue, hypocrite. I expect it was, I would have thought of a lot more names than that. This lady, not only was she healed bodily, but she was healed spiritually. That's a wonderful thing. Now, to have a demon inside as well that's brought this woman to that state is a terrible, awful thing, isn't it? And she was relieved of two things, the bodily and the spiritual. A lifetime of pain. Well, praise be to God. Now we come to our dear friend, Mr. Angry. Why? Why was he so down on this, on Jesus? Why would he think that it's something not quite nice to wreck a Sabbath service when he got six other days? But I don't suppose for a moment that Jesus was in that vicinity the day before or the day after. He was there because it was a God incident, as we call it, wasn't it? To see to this lady and to proclaim the love of God. And that's what it was. He was compassionate. He saw this poor woman, Miriam, I'll call her, just sitting there in pain. And his compassionate heart came into being and he called her out. I can just imagine that the place went very, very quiet. What on earth's going to happen? Necks was craned, people were looking through the door. What's going to happen? Well, they saw and they glorified God there and then. But I say, Mr. Misery was called a hypocrite, and that single word I thought would be like an arrow into his heart. He was the leader, he was the ruler, the top dog in that synagogue. And there he was being called a hypocrite. It was the biggest insult he could possibly have. And what's the modern version of hypocrite? We all know it's sort of a play acting, but it also means a pretender, someone who's sanctimonious, a deceiver even, a phony, as Americans would say, wouldn't you? But the last one I saw in the dictionary was a whited sepulchre. And that's a biblical one, isn't it? Jesus called some people a whited sepulchre. I think they were Pharisees. It's a terrible, terrible thing, isn't it? Especially as a ruler. Why wouldn't he join in? Why wouldn't he? He's a man that was enthralled to rules and regulations. Most of them are made up anyway, probably far more than the original one that God gave to Moses. And I was thinking about the donkeys and the oxen. They don't know it's a Sabbath or a Sunday. They're thirsty and they let you know about it. So that's what they did. And that was counted as work. was hardly to heal someone. It was work. I would think that was a pleasure. And everybody else thought the same. And another thought that occurred to me, why would he call her a daughter of Abraham? I know they look on Abraham as the patriarch, everything came from him, but why? Well, I looked it up and I read around, and it's also in Galatians, but anyone who is a son or a daughter of Abraham has to be born again, has to be saved. It's not because your parents were Jewish, it's because you had faith and trust in God, and that's when you become a son or a daughter of Abraham. So all here who were born again are sons and daughters of Abraham, as well as sons and daughters of the King of Kings. So that's a little present for you all. But the last part of it is that, I'll read that last verse again. It says, and when Jesus said these things, his adversaries were put to shame, and all the multitude rejoiced for the glorious things that were done by him. Well, it was a happy, happy bunch of people in that synagogue that day. There was only one that stuck his neck out and said, I'm not joining in. But there were others there, because adversaries is mentioned. The ordinary folk weren't put off. Few points arising from it, that the Lord Jesus was in control in that meeting. Wherever Jesus goes, he's in control. He's in control here and now, in this room. And when we leave, he's in control of us, because we are born again of him. He's in control. He leads us where he wants us to be, where he wants us to go. Even if it seems otherwise, and it often does, doesn't it? That, you know, the devil overcomes. He seems to be doing fine in this country now, doesn't he? But Jesus is in control, and he will have his way in the end. And the other next one is an awful word, legalism. Now, if you're not quite sure what it is, it's slavishly following a law, usually man-made. I know I've seen it in a church, in churches I've been into. Legalism is, you will do it this way. Not that the Lord will do it this way. I will do it this way. You will sing hymns because I like hymns. You will sing choruses because I like choruses. And another thing, we've never done that before. And I don't think we're going to start now. That's legalism. It's a church killer. It's a church splitter. And in the end, it will fail. Legalism is a wicked thing. But it's so easy. It's so easy for it to percolate into a fellowship. And I know, I've been there. I've seen it happen. And healing the sick is another one. Well, it can be contentious. Some Christians don't believe that it can happen. And some Christians would not enjoy watching someone lay hands on someone else to heal them. Now, I don't know whether you remember, there's a few of us here, when I came forward for prayer for healing earlier this year. There's a whole lot of men around me, instead of a whole lot of women, and prayed for me, because I was having to go into hospital for an operation. Well, I still had to go in hospital for an operation, but it wasn't as bad as it was before I was prayed. And God answered that prayer. He made it much easier. because I was worried about losing one of my legs through it. I really was. But after you had prayed for me, I didn't feel quite the same. I can't say as I went to the hospital in joyful anticipation, because you don't, do you? But it wasn't as bad in every way. And here I am standing up on two legs. And healing the sick and getting rid of demons was what Jesus told his disciples to do. And being as we are his disciples, we should do the same. And there's no reason why, if anyone is suffering, that we can't be prayed for in the church service on a Sunday. And even if that's true now, there are people here who will pray for people who are not feeling up to the mark. Any time, any place, we can pray for the sick. In the street, in a church, in the house, wherever, we can pray and know that Jesus hears, heals, and hears. Get it right. We are told in James, if you have a problem, go see the elders and they will pray for you. And the prayer of faith will save the sick. Promise. Wonderful. And the last one is authority over demons. Now that is quite a contentious subject. We do have authority over them, but only in Jesus' name. You or I could not cast anything out of anything demonic in our own strength, and it would be extremely foolhardy to try. But they can be removed by praying to someone who is afflicted, and it is an affliction, who we pray for, lay hands on, anoint with oil, and pray for them, and the demon has to go. And you don't stop praying until he does. And it's hard sometimes, because Sally and I have done it. They kick and scream against it, because they don't want to leave, they are comfortable. But it works. They do go. They do leave. And the only thing that you have to do then is to fill the empty space up with the Holy Spirit. So then you pray to the Holy Spirit and he will come and he will fill that gap. It's a very big ask to try it on. You don't do it lightly. You don't do it on your own. You do it together in Jesus' name. So those are a few points from this lovely little cameo of Jesus healing. There's a great deal more to it than just the story. A lot much more. And that's my message to you today. Don't be struggling with legalism. We know that Jesus is in control. We can help to heal the sick, and we can help to shift demons if called on. And that's my message to you today, in Jesus' name. Amen.